Turn to me to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25. We're going to begin reading verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch ye, watch therefore, for neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I want to speak to you this morning on the need of oil in your lamp. Oil in your lamp. To truly understand this parable, we first need to understand Jewish weddings. Of course, today they're much different than they were in the days of Jesus. No doubt they've modernized them a lot from that particular day. They're also a lot different than what we are ourselves accustomed to. Now, the only way we can know anything about their weddings is through commentaries or historians, as there's very little in the Word of God. This parable has to do really with the literal Jew, but is applicable to both you and I. John 1:11 says, he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Jews were no doubt God's people. Their whole history should have been a preparation for the coming of the Son of God. They ought to have been prepared for him when he came. Instead, they were quite unprepared and therefore were shut out. Amos, the 4th chapter, verse number 12 says, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Preparedness is always necessary. Israel of old, we know, looked for an earthly kingdom, and to deliver also to put down Rome, amen, so Israel could reign. And even that thinking was still embedded in the minds of the apostles. We read in Acts, the 1st chapter, verse number 5, amen, this is written, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together and asked him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Again, to understand this parable, we need to look at the Jewish weddings in the days of Jesus. And to understand that, we need to turn to historians and see the application Jesus was making Amen for you and I. Our wedding was a great occasion. The whole village turned out. Amen. To accompany the couple to their new home. And they went by the longest possible road in order that they might receive the glad good wishes of as many as possible. Everyone, is the Jewish saying, from 6 to 60 will follow the marriage band. The rabbis agreed that a man might even abandon the study of the law to share in the joy of a wedding feast. It was one of the greatest events of the day. The point of this story, really, or parable, lies in a Jewish custom which is very different from anything we know. When a couple got married, they did not go away on a honeymoon. They stayed at home for a week. And during that week, they had open house. They were treated and even dressed like a prince and a princess. It was the gladdest week in all their lives. To the festivities of that week, their chosen friends were admitted. It was not only the marriage ceremony, it was also the joyous week that the foolish virgins missed. Why? Because they were unprepared. The story of how they missed it all, amen, is perfectly true to life. I read a story. There was a man named Dr. J. Alexander Finley, and he was at Palestine. Amen. And this is what he saw. He says, when we were approaching the gates of a Galilean town, he said, I caught a sight of 10 maidens gaily clad and playing some kind of musical instruments as they danced along the road in front of our car, he said. When I asked what they were doing, the interpreter told me that they were going, amen, to keep the bride company till her bridegroom arrived. I asked him if there was any chance of seeing the wedding, but he shook his head, saying, in effect, it might be tomorrow, it might be tomorrow night, or it might be in a few days. Nobody ever knows for certain. Then he went on to explain that one of the great things to do, if you could, at a middle-class wedding in Palestine, was to catch the bridal party napping. So the bridegroom comes unexpectedly. Sometimes in the middle of the night. Amen. And also he's required, amen, by public opinion, to send a man along the street to shout, behold, the bridegroom is coming. But that may happen at any time. So the bridal party has to be ready to go out into the street at any time to meet him, whenever he chooses to come. No one is allowed on the streets after dark without a lighted lamp. And also that when the bridegroom has once arrived and the door has been shut, latecomers to the ceremony are not admitted. It's a direct implication. It was directed towards the Jewish nation, but it's good for you and I. Israel was no doubt God's people. Amen. And like I said, amen, their whole history should be that they are preparing for the coming of the Son of God. They ought to have been prepared for when he comes. There was prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. We read over in Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty, amen, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. On the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, amen, and upon his kingdom to order, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Let's get another prophecy. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, amen, smitten of God, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Amen. We've turned everyone to his way, and the Lord has laid on him an iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Jesus said in John 5:39, you examine the scriptures carefully because you suppose that in them you have eternal life, yet they testify about me. Amen. Israel, amen, amen, was above the Gentile and the pagans. Why? They had the oracles of God. They had the scriptures. Amen. And the scriptures plainly prophesied of the coming of the Messiah. The prophecy spoke throughout the word of God. But instead of accepting, amen, and being ready, they were quite unprepared. And therefore, as a nation, were shut out. Here is a parable. The tragedy of being unprepared. There's a great lesson, church, in this parable for you and I. There are many lessons in this parable, and we want to look at some for just a little while this morning. What do we find in this parable? It warns us. There are certain things which cannot be obtained at the last minute. What's that tell you? It looks like there are some who are leaving their salvation to the very last moment. They want to make it or take it right down to their last breath before they repent. Some bring up the thief on the cross. Amen. Who was dying and no deliverance physically from his punishment. But let's read that. Luke 23:39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on it, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God? Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There were two thieves or malefactors on the cross. Ones always pick out the one going to paradise. But I wonder in my mind, how many chances had he had? How much gospel had he heard? There are ones who sit in Church of God congregations that had so many chances. It's actually scary to think about it. Chance after chance after chance after chance. And they put it off, to hang right on to their last breath when they actually know they've got to do something. Well, I wanted to tell you, unbelief is just going to be just as real when you're dying as any other time. Right. Come on, unbelief had a hold of this one malefactor. He didn't repent. There was two of them there. The devil not only tells them, but convinces people they've got plenty of time, and oh, the mercy of God. God will do something, amen, to see that I'm saved. Well, he is doing something. He's giving you the gospel week after week after week after week. Look at our scripture lesson. Matthew 25:3, they that were foolish took the lamp, took their lamps and took no oil with them. What's the oil symbolic of? The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Now we know the Jewish nation had light. They had light of the Word of God. Somebody said, how do you know? Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. But there was no way they was going to get the oil without the acceptance of Jesus Christ. It's too late to study for a test on the day of examination. You know it's coming. You've been warned. You were told by the teacher there's going to be an exam, but you kept putting off preparing for it. Then that day arrives when the teacher says, put away your books. We're having an exam. Put away that history book. Put away that math book. Put away that spelling book. We got an exam today. And it's too late. Amen. To get your oil, amen, it's too late to get your oil and put it off to the last, amen, right down to the last moment of time when the bridegroom comes. When preparing for exam, many thought, and I remember in school, I did the same thing. I procrastinated. I didn't like to study. I hated to bring books home. And I paid for it. Although I graduated, I could have graduated with much better marks than I did if I wasn't too lazy to study. But I didn't like studying. Amen. And I always thought I had plenty of time. Amen. And I would just cram the books the day before the exam. But the trouble is, I didn't know when the exam was. And then the teacher would spring it on you. It's too late to make some things right the day you're dying. Amen. The eldest daughter of King Charles I was dying. And her chaplain went to her And he wanted to tell her of the way of salvation. Her answer was this, I have not left this matter to this hour. She already had it taken care of. The foolish virgins took no oil with them for their lamps. There are things you cannot obtain or borrow when you need them. Matthew 25 and 8, the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. You cannot receive oil minus Jesus Christ. The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And no one receives the Holy Spirit until they come to Christ first. You cannot borrow it from somebody else. You cannot buy it from somebody else. Nor can somebody else give it to you. We must all have our own sufficiency of oil to be ready. You cannot borrow a relationship with God. We cannot assume a relationship with God, even if we attend a Church of God congregation. Mother and dad might have been good Christians. You might have come from a good Christian family. But that doesn't mean you can assume that you are a Christian. You must know you are a Christian. You must have your own personal relationship with God. Next, we need to be ready at all times. All ten slumbered and slept, but those lamps of the wise, amen, didn't go out. Well, they had oil in their lamps. Matthew 25 and 6 says, at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. We know the bridegroom is going to come again, but we know not when. Matthew 24:44 says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:50, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in the hour that he's not aware of. Luke 12:46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at the hour and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in asunder, will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. We have been warned over and over, church, that the bridegroom cometh. Have we not? Malachi 3:1. Behold, I'll send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he's like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall set as a refiner and a purifier, amen, of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Here we're talking about the coming of John the Baptist. Now go with me to Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Just like John the Baptist was sent as a forerunner to Jesus Christ's first advent, God's ministry is a forerunner to his second coming now. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The preaching is to perfect every man. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, amen, in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I know there's ones who testify and fight perfection, but then nevertheless, that's where the word of God will lead you if you let it. We want to look at a couple more thoughts before we close out this morning. Turn with me to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. We're going to read a few verses there. Matthew 22, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 2. I won't be much longer, but we want to bring some more thoughts in here. Matthew 22 and 2 beginning. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Sent forth his servants to call them that were bid to the wedding. They would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. Went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and amen, as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. Amen. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with gifts. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had on not a wedding garment. He saith unto him, friend, how camest in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Well, what do we see in this parable? We see that everyone is invited. All have an invitation. The Jew first, the Gentile, the out and out sinner, and whosoever will. The Bible says in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The call goes out to all people. And next we find in this parable, to attend this wedding, we must have on the wedding garment. When ones come to Christ, they do not remain the same. There's a change that takes place in every life. They put on the garments of salvation. We read over in the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, verse number 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful, my God. Amen. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He'd covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Isaiah 61 and 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We don't come to God dressed in the garments of the old life. Verse 11, when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Otherwise, he was without excuse. The bridegroom is coming back, amen, for his bride. He's going to deliver her up to the Father. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, we read these words. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Read every man in his order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ in his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Only those who have oil in their vessel will be accepted of him. It's the oil that keeps the lamp burning. It's only the oil that lights up the city. Matthew 5:14, you are a light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, amen, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's the oil that gives you the power to be a witness that God wants you to be. Acts the first chapter, verse number 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Do you have that power this morning? Matthew 25 and 8. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Has your lamp went out this morning? As we prepare clothes. If the oil in your vessel has been depleted, then the scripture says this in Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in a fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As we close out the message this morning, amen, is your light, the light of salvation, shining as it ought to be, or has it been flickering to the place it's almost went out or has went out? The cry is, the bridegroom cometh. Not came, but cometh. Amen. Just like the old Jewish weddings, when that cry was made out, the man went out ahead of the bridegroom and shouted that, amen, down the road, the bridegroom cometh. That didn't mean he was right behind him. He could have come in a day, 2 days, maybe 3 days. Or the bridegroom cometh. We know not the hour, but we don't want to be caught with our oil in our vessel. We don't want to be caught where our light has went out. Why? Those without the light, amen, were not, amen, bidden into the house. So the light needs to be shining bright in every one of our lives. It's the oil in the vessel that gives you the power in your life to have on the wedding garment as you ought. As we bring the message to a close, how is it this morning in your own personal experience? Do you have oil in your vessel? Amen. The Holy Spirit have control of your life as he ought. Let us stand.